See this guitar right here? It's a Taylor. It used to be mine. But when I came out to a Steubenville conference, it arrived broken in my guitar case, and I didn't think it could be fixed. I'm getting somebody tuning through the monitor too, which is kind of interesting. There we go. Now somebody's whispering weird things to me. Yes, I'm handsome. Yes. Anyhow, I'm going to get this back because he stole it from me. He fixed the guitar and kept it. It has nothing to do with the talk. Sorry, but I want this guitar. Now I'm focused on you. You're here and I'm here. This is about you now. This guitar is so nice. This thing, just okay. So my name's Sean Forrest. I'm a missionary in the country of Haiti. I know you're thinking, no way. I walk out here and people are like, you must be like a model or a surgeon. I don't know where that came from. I'm sorry. Hang on. It's really messed up. I model large clothes for people. Here we go. You can't see me. Okay. Now that I wasted 5 minutes of my time about a guitar, do me a favor. Close your eyes. I'm just going to read a scripture for you, okay? And it's going to be the theme here for me. But I need you to close your eyes because often I find you guys will stare at us, but you don't really see us. You'll listen, but maybe not hear, just because we're so good looking, it's hard to concentrate. No, it's true. There have been a lot of research on that. Apparently not so much for me, but here we go. John 1. Verses 35 through 41. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Okay, open your eyes. Now, when I first heard that story, before God opened my eyes to scripture, I was like, man, all right, so these guys are out looking for something. Some guy looks and says, he's the Lamb of God. They start following him, and he looks, and he's like, "What do you want?" And he says, "Come and see." And then they spend the day with him, and then they come back. He's like, come, where do you live? Like, he's like, "Come see me." And then they're like, "He's the Messiah." And I used to think, like, his house must have been awesome. Come and see. And they're like, "Oh, he's the Messiah. Look at that pool. That thing is killer." But realize that later on he says, "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." So it's not about the location, it's about the person. It's about encountering Jesus Christ. And I encountered him when I was a little boy, kind of, because we go through different levels. But for me, I was kind of troubled about God or gods and faith. Have you ever been really lost? Have you ever really been searching for something and you just can't find the right answer? Are you looking for somebody? You're looking for that hope and you can't get it? Well, that was me. I remember I was like just this kid. I had no problems. Everything was going great in my life. And I had this grandfather who was really cool. We called him Umpy. Don't ask why. But he's really cool. He was like bigger than I was. And when I'd arm wrestle him, he would just destroy me. And his forearms were like 3 times the size of mine. They were huge. He was like a Hulk. He was crazy, but a really gentle guy. And tragically, all of a sudden, he just died. Now, when I was young, about 12 years old when this happened, 12, almost 13, I was like, well, all right, my world's just been rocked. How many of you, by show of hands, have ever had somebody die unexpectedly? Look around, man. It freaked me out. It freaked me out because my world of just like having fun and hanging out was just rocked. And I remember I was so scared. I was so scared. And I went to the funeral and I was so afraid. I was so afraid because I didn't want to get up close to death. I was so afraid of it. Death scared me. Death really scared me. How many of you guys, by show of hands, if you'll be honest, are really afraid to die? I've talked about this before. I just want to see how many of you are freaks like me about it. Have you ever laid in bed and thought this thought? Don't talk about it. Just show of hands. You can giggle if you want, and you'll be like, oh, I'm not the only messed up person in this room. Have you ever been laying in bed and you go like this? What if I die tonight? Okay, here's the next level of fear craziness. You ever laid in bed? Just be a few of you, but freaks come out at night. Here we go. You ever been laying in bed and you go like this? If I'm dead, do I know I'm dead? Do I just see darkness all around me? Is this black around me? Right. She's like, he knows us. He reads my soul. No. You ever been laying in bed and you're like, well, never mind. That one's really messed up. You go, am if I done? No, never mind. But you know what, man? You're, all right, here it is. You ever been laying in bed and you go, what if I'm not really dead and they bury me alive? How would that be? You just had your best nap ever. You're like, oh, yeah. Hello? Hello? It's got to be a doorknob, but why would I be laying down? Do you know that used to happen, man? It used to happen. People would die. They weren't really dead. They buried them alive. So you know what they would do? I kid you not. They'd put a rope down into the dude's casket attached to a bell. And if the dude woke up, he'd ring it. And the night watchman would come and dig the dude up. How would you like that job? Hey, Bob, we got a ringer on plot 5. Like, oh. I'm coming. Dingle, dingle, I'm coming! I'd be stepping on the bell. I'd be like, dude, man, rest in peace. We're good here, man. I'd walk away. That's just too messed up. I'm not doing that. So when my grandfather passed away, I was at the funeral, and I was so afraid of death. I was like, I didn't want to see it. So I remember looking down a row like this, and he was laying in the casket, and I could just see the top of his nose, and I was just pinned against the wall because everybody's sobbing, everybody's crying, they're like, ah, and I'm just like, okay, I'm a little kid, you're adults, and you're all freaked out, nobody's here, I'm alone, there's a dead person, it's my grandpa, I'm freaking out, and then all of a sudden my brother comes over to me. Now, I gotta understand something, my brother had tortured me my entire life. He's the kind of guy when you're sitting in the car, all of a sudden he looks at you and he draws a line between you. He goes, you cross that line, you die. You're like, why? And he's like, and by the way, the line gets closer. And I'm like, the kind of guy who'd put you down and drop spit 2 inches from your face and suck it back up. But something incredible was about to happen. My grandfather's laying there. I'm back in the corner going, and all of a sudden he puts his arms around me. And I'm like, what? And he's like, relax. And I'm like, don't hurt me. He's like, I won't. He goes, that's kind of messed up, huh? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you'll be all right. And I was like, I'm having a moment with my brother. The brother I always wanted who would protect me and defend me is now here. Someone is comforting me. I think there might be a God because I prayed in this evil way. And my brother showed up and put his arm around me. He goes, you'll be okay. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm scared. He goes, well, look it. He's dead. And then they'll put him in the ground. And eventually his body rots away. And one day that's going to happen to you, Sean. And I was like, fetal position. I was so freaked out. I didn't get any answers that day. I just got people panicking and freaked out about death, and it scared me. I had other wounds, too, that I was carrying with me. Father wounds, the most brutal of all wounds. All these things. So I'm scared to death. I've got these wounds, and I'm carrying all this baggage around, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. And I get to high school, and a friend of mine passes away. Now, I don't want this to sound like insincere or callous. I just want to let you know how it went down. By the time I was a senior, I was pretty much a skeptic. I was like, I don't think there's anything. I think people just pray because they're just scared and they hope there's something out there and they're praying to this. This guy's praying to a chicken. You're praying to Jesus. You're praying to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man movie reference. Don't even know what that is. That's for my buddies over here. Now, the Lord has spoken. I don't need these notes. Okay. No, good. Actually, I do. Could you get that? If only the Lord would send a servant to help me at this moment. Dear Lord, if you could send... I thought angels would be brighter, but you're all right. You're going to do just... There's Michael the Archangel, and God sends me Bob. Thanks, brother. I just bought that too, man.
Yeah.
I was trying to show off because I also had a paper notebook, and yeah, it's not going to work, is it?
You just keep talking.
Okay, thanks, Bob. So I went to my friend's funeral, and he died tragically, and I was really scared. I went to that one. And I'll never forget, I couldn't walk into that one either. It was a Protestant one, or kind of. It wasn't really, there weren't crosses. I thought it was Protestant, but it was something kind of different. And I remember just sitting there going, man, what am I going to, she gone? She gone?
It's
booting up. All right. You know what? I'm good. I don't even need it now because you're beside me. Are you serious? That's what it takes to get you guys emotional? We're gonna definitely need this guitar. A weird week of speaking. Last week somebody threw something and knocked me on the ground from the stage, so this is different. Okay. I'll just pretend there's notes there. So I go to this funeral, and this sounds horrible, but I'm looking out there, I'm scared, I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't go in there. And my friend Jimmy, his father comes up to me, and his son had just died, and he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, you're afraid, aren't you? And I'm like, I'm terrified, because I'm gonna die too. My brother told me a long time ago. And he goes, come on in. I have the answers for you. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, you don't see me crying. I've got this. And I'm like, you're not crying. Everybody else in my family was freaked out. I'll hear what you have to say. I go, I sit down, and the man gets up and says this. He goes, my Jimmy loved the Grey Wolves of North America. And I'm like, yep. Yeah, he did. He had posters of them everywhere. And then he said this. So now I know my Jimmy is a Grey Wolf. When you look out in the wilderness and you see a pack of wolves, my Jimmy will be the pack leader. And everybody started cheering. And I'm like, bull sugar. And my friend's like, quiet. And I'm like, you believe this? Go pet Jimmy. He'll eat you. Did Jimmy really become a wolf? Or maybe is his father trying to handle this despair the best way he knows how? That's what I was thinking. I think when people get really afraid and wounded, they kind of look for things to try to help them. When I was a kid, I was hoping Spider-Man would save me all the time. But he couldn't do it. Not in this situation. So I went on the hunt. I went on the hunt for God. I wanted to elevate my mind out of things like when I die, I'm going to become a rooster. Or when I die, I'm going to run with a pack of wolves. Or whatever it might be, I'll become an alien. I started using my intellect and going, is there something higher that can elevate me out of this? And so I went on the search, and what I started doing was entering into Buddhism. I'm like, let me check this one out. And it was very interesting. I was told that in Buddhism, and I entered in this for a while, that everything's an illusion. Even pain is an illusion. I'm an illusion. I'm like, I'm not here. He's like, that's right. You're an illusion. I'm like, who are you? An illusion. Then who's speaking? What voice? Illusion voice. And I remember I was having a kidney stone, and I went to this like sweat lodge kind of thing where we were meditating. And I kid you not, I'm sitting there. I get a kidney stone. And I'm like going, I'm in pain. I'm like going, oh. And I'm not kidding. Two people started following me, and they're like, oh. And I'm like, really? really? I'm in agony here. And I'm like, ugh. And I remember our leader was going, pain is an illusion. I'm like, ugh. He's like, pain is illusion. I'm like, this illusion hurts like heck, man. Oh, that wasn't working for me. Because I'm told that I got to carry burdens over and over and over again. I'll come back in the next life and carry the same burdens because of the burdens that I put on myself from this life and that I'm an illusion. I got to get rid of myself and I'm freaked out and I'm like, what do I do? And then finally, I encountered Jesus Christ through a priest who was, I was speaking in front of a large group of people and he came up to me and he said, hey, and I was speaking about spiritual things. I didn't believe in Jesus. I just said, you know what? There's probably some God out there who cares about you. And everybody was listening to me. And he goes, well, Sean, how do you know this spirit God loves you up there? And I said this, because I can feel it in my heart. And he goes, has anybody ever said they loved you before? You felt it in your heart and they betrayed you? And I was like, yes. And he goes, so how do you know God, that spirit thing, isn't doing the same thing to you? Saying he loves you, you feel him betraying you? Like, for example, ladies, if a guy says he loves you, does that mean he does? No, this girl is angry. Front row, right here. No. No, you punch those people. No. If a guy says he loves you, then he buys you something. Does that mean he loves you then at that point? No. Relax. All the guys are getting nervous. They're like, dude, change the topic, man. It's getting hostile. See, but then I asked this priest, well, how do you know your God loves you? And he said, oh, it's really simple. My faith is the only faith that can prove that God really loves. And I was like, what? And he goes, well, let me just say, it's the deepest form of love I think that's ever been expressed in a religion. I said, what is that? And he goes, well, he died for us on a cross. His name is Jesus. And he died not so that you could carry burdens, but so that he could lift them from you. God became man so that we could encounter him. So that we could know God, so that we could fall in love with him. Here's a really bad analogy, but it's going to work. This really touched my heart, though. Remember this. Hang on. First, I want to do this. Hang on. Can I walk down here, or is it going to feed back? I'm going for it. I'm going for it. Don't feed back. My pacemaker can't handle it. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Hi, I'm Sean. Hi, what's your name?
Bella.
Bella. Listen, we're going to do a song. I'm just kidding. You're fine. Relax. Bella. I've done this many times, but some of you are new, and I just want you to see it, okay? I'm going to ask you questions. They're not trick questions, and I have to inform you beforehand that I'm going to take my finger and point it at you like it's a gun, but it is not. We're perfectly safe. This is my hand. The only way this finger hurts you is if you pull it, so be careful. Here we go. Write it down. Here we go. Ready? Ready? You're at the mall 10 years from now with your fiancé. His name is... Thaddeus, okay. It's all cool. Thaddeus shows up. I walk up to you. I've got a gun. I go, I've hated you my entire life. I'm going to kill you. And it's just a finger, so she can't be hurt right now. We're in a safe place right now. I go like this. I'm going to kill you. I've hated you my entire life. Thaddeus grabs my wrist, points it at his chest, and says, don't kill her. Kill me instead. I'm like, oh, that's so, I love, she just went like this. Okay. Couple things, that's beautiful, and you know Thaddeus isn't real. Okay, here we go. She's going to be like, where is he? And I'm engaged. This is awesome. Thaddeus. Her friends are like, does he have a brother? Awesome. Here we go. Ready, here we go. I go, dude, what? He goes, don't kill her. Kill me instead. I go, dude, I'm going to pull the trigger. He goes, but fine. If you kill me, just let her go. I want to die in her place. I go, sure. I shoot him. He dies. Did he love you?
Yes.
Yes. Because he was willing to what? Die for you, okay? Here's the romantic thing for all of us. In fact, we already have a God who did that for us. His name's Jesus. You already have somebody who said, yeah, I'll die for you. The most brutal death ever recorded in history on the cross for us. So as awesome as that sounds with Thaddeus, this is actually something that happened historically. His name's Jesus, and he died for us. Because God became one of us. This is real. This isn't a fantasy. This is true stuff here. I took my niece fishing once a long time ago, and this isn't a good analogy either, but it works. It's the best I've got right now. Should have got Adele. All right, listen. Shh. Not true. Stop. Shh. It's powerful. I brought my niece fishing. I love fishing. When I get into it, I forget about everything else. I'm out there, I'm fishing. After about 10 hours, my niece goes, I'm hungry. I'm like, oh, yes. You are five, you must eat. I go, wait right here, I'll go make some sandwiches. So I go to make some sandwiches, and when I come back to her, she's found a bucket, and she's walking to me going like this. And I go, what do you got there? And she goes, a friend. And I go, what do you mean a friend? She dumps out a snapping turtle this big with a head like this, and I'm like, oh. So I had a walking stick, and I just knocked him off the table because, for most importantly, he was near my sandwich. And he could harm someone. He falls to the ground, and she goes, you killed him. I go, I did not. And she goes, turn him over. I go to turn him over. Do you know those things hiss? I didn't know that was in their vocabulary. He's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, man. So I run in the woods to get a bigger stick. I come back out. It's forked so that I can flip him over. And my niece is going like this. God, make me a turtle. Please make me a turtle. And I'm going, what are you talking about? She goes, you're so stupid. I'm like, why? She goes, if God makes me a turtle, I can speak turtle. And I can tell him not to be afraid. And we can flip him over. And you can stop hitting him with sticks. And I'm like, oh, worst uncle ever. Dude, what's your name?
Cage.
Come here. Stop there. That'd be so cool to have that power. You gotta shout real loud, okay? These aren't trick questions, okay? My niece wants to talk to a turtle. What should she become? A?
Turtle!
A turtle, that's right. It's like, what did I win? No. God, who is a spirit, wants to talk to a human being, so God would become a
man.
And he did it in the person of who?
Jesus.
Yeah, so God became one of us, fully God, fully man in the flesh. Good, grab a seat. No one applaud for him. You must go in shame. No, you're good. That's the game changer for me. Here's the deal. You guys, everything changes because of this Jesus. Everything changes. Everything changed in my life because of this Jesus. Let's just do the math on this real quick, okay? Here we go. Here's what I'm talking about. I followed just about everything before. But when you encounter Jesus, because here's the crazy thing. I was searching for God, but the crazy thing is he was searching for me. And I encountered him in the person of Christ. And not only once he finds you, he doesn't carry you the whole way. He's like, hey, come here. Let's go on a journey. Walk with me. He asks us to go further and deeper with him. And I had no choice but to follow this God. Why? Because I'd never seen such love in my life. The fact that this God would die for me and my many sins is absolutely incredible to me. Think of your worst sin you don't want anybody to know about. Well, Jesus saw it and said, I'll die for that. Because in the other philosophies that I was following, you're burdened. You must carry an eternal debt. And Jesus is like, no, I paid the debt. I've come to set you free. That's so incredible to me. But here's the deal. Ready? I'm going to ask you just to say this out loud. Don't goof around. Just do it seriously with me, okay? If God is perfect, if he's perfection, can he lie? Good. Can he contradict himself? Can a human being contradict himself? Can a human being lie? Can a human being make a mistake just about life? All right. Who knows more about God, God or me?
God.
Because he's
God.
All right, Jesus is who?
God.
So who knows more about God, Jesus or me? Jesus, because he's who?
God.
Right, was Buddha God?
No.
So who knows more about God, God or Buddha?
God.
Because he's
God.
Jesus is who?
God.
So who knows more about God than Jesus or Buddha?
No.
Jesus, because he's God, sorry. Am I going too fast? I'll slow down. Muhammad, was he God?
No.
Who knows more about God, God or Muhammad?
God.
Jesus is who?
God.
So who knows more about God, Jesus or Muhammad?
Jesus.
Because he's who?
God.
That's right. So if Jesus says you die and it's heaven or hell, and our church says it's heaven or hell, and Buddha says it's reincarnation, who's right? Jesus, because he's who?
God.
That's right. So I wanted to know God. He made himself visible to us. And I want to trust him in this church. I want to go on the journey with this God. And I guess I just want to share this with you. There's a million other places I could go, but I think this is the most important. I want to talk to you about Thor. Really? See, I need you to get this. Jesus is real. Came that we might have life. Listen, God is not against you. He's for you. He's not a goalie trying to keep people out. He's a shepherd saying, come on in, you guys, come on in. And when you fall and you sin and you mess up, he's like, get up, keep coming. I'll help you. Come on, man, I'll put my arm around you. I'll help you. In a world that wants to say, you know what, stay in your oppression, stay in your depression, stay in your anxiety, stay in your fear, you've got this God saying, no, walk with me. Come and see. But we got to elevate our minds to what's true and what is good. And I just want to, I don't know if I can get this across to you, but everybody suffered, so I'm not looking for sympathy here, but honestly, when I was looking at my grandfather back in those days, don't laugh at me, I was playing a game called Dungeons and Dragons, and and my God, because you could select a God, my God was Thor. And it was cool. I was like, yeah, man, Thor. I even built a hammer. I wanted to work out. I wanted to look like him. You guys are making this difficult. But I love you. Knucklehead. All right, listen. When I finally did go forward and look at my grandfather, I was brokenhearted. I loved that man. And when I stood beside my brother, who just suddenly died of a heart attack, and I was looking at his grave, I was brokenhearted. And when I went to say goodbye to my brother, who was dying of ALS, and I had that one last conversation with him, it was devastating. Experiencing 12 miscarriages with my wife, and the children aren't alive, and your wife's just broken. It's devastating. And all I can tell you this, that fictional character of Thor was so pathetic at that moment to me, because he couldn't raise any of them from the dead. The wounds I'd received from my childhood and further on throughout my whole life, yet Thor couldn't take those away. I just watch people putting their eyes on these things that are so puny compared to our God. That's why this theme is great. Elevate to something greater. If you haven't experienced death close and personal, it's brutal. When you're in the presence of that death and you see the body and fear starts to sweep in, all these things we've done, you can be the biggest bodybuilder and that does absolutely nothing for you because you can't raise them. You can't bring them back. You can't. Muscles don't really heal a broken heart. Most of that, all that stuff is just imaginary, and we spend so much time in that imaginary world, and I'm like, when those moments come, when you really truly need healing, when those moments come, when the darkness of death shadows on your family, how great to have Jesus, who's like, Thor, really? I'm the creator of the entire universe. I am. I am the great Yahweh. Death has been conquered. Yet you've been abused, you've been hurt, you've had all these things happen to you. Come to me. God became one of us, and he's saying, will you come forward? Will you come forward on this journey? Will you enter into these things? Because it's scary. It's not a one and done, hey, I said my prayer, and now I'm saved. Salvation comes from a lifelong walk with Jesus of getting back up every time you fall and having the courage As Adam said earlier, to make yourself vulnerable to a God who says, you know what, I want to heal you. And it's scary going to the doctor sometimes. Most of us just like to put Band-Aids on things. I don't want to go get the shot. I don't want him to cut it out. And we keep living in this misery of like, it still hurts, but I don't want to go there. And God's like, go there with me. I went there first. I've seen it, I've done it, and I've come back. Let me walk you into these places. So I guess in closing, I'll just say this. For the rest of the weekend, elevate your hearts, your minds. The devil wants to distract you and keep you from hearing anything. The devil wants to distract you from being able to focus on this. You're going to want to focus on a girl over here or something over here that is not right of God. Grow. Elevate your heart to a point where you're ready to give it to God and say, do what you want with this. Maybe even just one little area of your life or that wound where you're like, I came here, yeah, Jesus, but no, not this. And Jesus is like, if you want to walk with me, it's exactly what we've got to do. So don't be afraid.